I'm going to look at your neighbor and say, Valentine's Day looked like it did you well. Come on. How many of you overdid it on chocolate this week? Come on, be honest. Let me see your hand. How many of you didn't get enough chocolate? Let me see your hand. Wow. Maybe that's a ministry we ought to start here, a Bible, a group. The chocolatiers, what do you say? Well, you know what? That might be something that we do. I don't know. Does anybody know here know how to make chocolate? Yeah, there's some hands go up in here. All right. Well, maybe I'm a prophet and don't even know it right now. Who knows? I've shared the last few weeks about leaving a legacy, and whether you think you will or not, you will. Every person will leave a legacy. Every person will leave something behind. When you're gone, somebody, when your name is brought up, they'll think, yep, this is what I remember about them. I just so want to serve the Lord in such a capacity that I make Him grateful, and I make Jesus proud in everything that we do. In the midst of that, I just kept on being drawn to this thought about celebrating life and celebrating now, and you know, not waiting till we're not here anymore. You go to the funeral or calling hours of somebody, and somebody will hand you a card and it says a celebration of life. I'm thinking, I don't want you all celebrating me when I'm dead. I want you to celebrate me right now. I want to have a celebration now. I want a party now. I don't want to act like a fool. I don't want to throw my destiny away, but I want to celebrate the life that God has given me right now. And Psalm 144:15 says, happy is the people whose God is the Lord, not miserable. Listen, beyond what you think church people are, they are not called to be miserable and unhappy people. We should be the most joyful, the most happiest, thankful people on the face of the earth. Come on. Is there any grateful people in the house today? And the enemy will always try to do his best to distract you and take you and I down some dark path, causing you to think negative thoughts, creating scenarios in us that are negative at best. And while this is taking place, our lives and the purpose for what we have been created for is moving on past us. We're missing it because we take our focus of what His intentions are for us and we focus them on something that is baseless and has absolutely no merit. John 10:10 says, the thief comes only to kill, steal, and destroy. Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. And the word thief there is like a pickpocketer. You know, when I go to another country, one of the first things that they always say, watch your pockets. There's professional pickpocketers out. And a pickpocketer, he won't tell you when he's coming. He won't announce to you his plan, but he'll have a plan to distract you and to steal from you. But if you are prepared and diligent, it can come out that he won't be able to steal from you. And that's why I want to encourage you today to not to let the negative, not to let the unpleasant things that are coming towards you in life to burden you down continually. Because although we can't keep things from coming to us, we can keep things from staying with us. And so many times when things come to us, we just have this tendency to retain them instead of getting rid of them. And sometimes it may be something that's not even that bad, but it takes up a space in your life and it hinders you from something greater that can come into your life. Other times it's more serious. Maybe it's guilt from something in your past. Maybe it's a disappointment because something you hoped for didn't work out or the way it didn't work out how you thought it would. Maybe it was a promotion that you thought you should have got, but you didn't end up getting it. You wanted to get married, but your best friend got married before you, and you're you're just all jacked up over that. I used to hear things like that, and I used to say, wow, that is so different to me. You know, when Patty and I were going to get married, you know, and I'd never done it before, so I really didn't know what to expect. And all of a sudden, we had our wedding planned, and it was the night of the rehearsal, and a snowstorm came. We had to not only cancel the rehearsal, but we had to cancel our wedding. And I was thinking, okay, God, are you speaking to me? You know, as a new Christian, I'm like, all right, what's going on? And everybody, you know, around me, my father-in-law is crying, my wife-to-be is crying, and I'm just sitting there thinking, okay, what's going on here? I didn't know. We had to put the wedding off for another week. Come on. And we called what used to be the Holiday Inn. They took all the food, they put it away, pulled it out, and the next week we had a party. And I got married to that girl sitting right over there. And I always kid people. I used to say to her back then when that week came, I looked at her and said, well, maybe God's telling us no. She said, God is not telling us no. Sometimes we retain that stuff. Someone said something about you or something to you that was hurtful, and you're still carrying that around with you. You haven't forgiven them. And I love this quote that I read. He that doesn't forgive burns the bridge that he must cross. Just read that. Just look at that again. He that doesn't forgive burns the bridge that he must cross. Someone said to you, maybe you can't do that. You will never be that. And don't kid yourself. When people say that to you and I, there's a little piece inside of us that believes that. Well, maybe they're right. And I've discovered in my life that the chorus of those who are continually telling me, you can't do that, that'll never work, who do you think you are? They're just voices trying to talk you out of the pathway that God is really leading you on. They're trying to talk me and you and I out of the destiny that God has for our lives. I like this quote. Don't be discouraged by people who tease you out of your dreams. What you have in your heart is bigger than what they have on their lips. Thank God for that. Because many times we get caught up in the distractions that have nothing to do with the destiny that God has for us. And it's just noise that is in our lives and it has nothing to do with you. And all the time when you're hearing it, God is saying to you and I, come up higher. I want you to come a little higher. I want you to trust me. I have a perfect plan for you that before the foundations of the earth were laid, God said, I've got something worked out for you. In Ephesians 1:4, it says, long ago, even before the world was made, God chose us to be his very own through what Christ would do for us. Not that you and I got everything all worked out or we're special or we're perfect, but Jesus came into the world, the Bible says, to save you and I from the destruction that we have put on ourselves and that the world would put on us. It's not because we're good. It's because he's good. He came. He died. He rose again. When we come to him, he gives us victory in Jesus' name today. And I'm telling you, that is something to celebrate about life for today. Come on today. Are you listening to me? And if we're going to celebrate the life that God has given us, we have to choose not to let clutter find its way into our lives. Not to let our lives be a dumping ground for somebody else's poor choices, poor attitude, anger, their clutter. Not to let the influence of somebody else's thought life to permeate our thought life and turn it into a trash heap that has no room for the joy of the Lord or the purposes that God wants for you and I. When we are living in a time when people everywhere are dumping garbage everywhere they go. And I'm not just talking about physical garbage. I'm talking about things that people say, people do, social media, hateful attitudes that they want you to take. And can I tell you something? You can take a little bit of a hateful attitude in you and think it'll be okay, but all it'll do is grow into something much bigger than you ever thought it could be. Let it go. Hateful opinions that other people think you ought to embrace them. Can I encourage you today? Don't do it. Keep your life and your heart free from that kind of evil influence. Proverbs 4:23 says, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. The New Century Version says it. I like this. Be careful what you think, because your thoughts run your life. Man, that's powerful. And I'm not sure if that program is still on TV anymore, but there used to be a program, I saw it a couple times, it just made me a little sick to my stomach, called The Hoarders. Has anybody ever seen that or heard of that? The Hoarders, it's a real life, it depicts the real life struggles of people that can't throw anything out. They keep everything. And this program showed those type of situations, and then it showed some of the treatment for them. It's called compulsive hoarding disorder. I think I had a little bit of that. I think I do have a little of that in me. I mean, you can walk through a house, we don't have it, but I have a tendency, I want to keep everything. I don't want to throw anything out. Contrary to my sons, they want to throw it all out, but I don't want to throw anything out, because when I was young, I didn't have anything. So if I got anything, I'd want to hold it forever, even if it was junk. Several years ago, Patty and I bought this house in Batavia that came up at a tax auction. And at the time, we didn't think much about the house because it wasn't something we were interested in, but it got at the auction and began to go for such a low price. I thought, well, I'm going to buy it. You know, we like to fix up old things and take care of them. And when I bought the house, they said, okay, you can go, you can look at it now. I hadn't even really looked at it. Went to one door, couldn't open the door. And I looked in through the window, and there's garbage and trash everywhere. And I don't mean like a little bit. I mean like 4 feet deep. You know, went to another door and opened up the back door, and I had to step up, and you could see the pathway where somebody would walk through that. And, you know, I had to bend way over to go through it. And I thought, well, this can't be the way the whole house is. And the whole house was like that. Just upstairs, I literally had to crawl on that. I mean, there were rats in there and mice, and there was that, and people had been living in there. I thought, my goodness, what happened here? I remember when finally cleaned out around the kitchen, opened the refrigerator up. It was full. Oh my gosh! Just the thought of it right now, I'm getting a whiff in my spirit about how bad it was. Keep it together down here, Johnny. I don't want you throwing up on the front row. And 14 32-yard dumpsters later of junk. And all I could think about is the pathway that somebody used to get around in that house, because they didn't want to get rid of anything. And when the house was empty, I looked around, the house was, wow, this is not a bad house. The people that lived there, they never experienced everything that the house was created for. I'm talking to somebody today. You're keeping stuff in your life that's hindering your joy and your ability to celebrate the moments that God gives you right now. And I wonder sometimes how much we keep in our life when God really is telling us, let it go. So much clutter that we don't enjoy life anymore. We don't enjoy what He has created for us. We got clutter in our lives from some bad experience. We got clutter in our lives from our work. We got clutter in our lives from our past. We got clutter in our lives from a broken relationship, and we don't want to let it go. But I believe for some of you today that if you'll let that go today, God will do something powerful inside of your life that you never thought was possible. You got to let go of the hurt, the disappointment, what someone said to you or about you. And just as that house was, and the people that lived in there, they get used to that type of environment. and it becomes a normal for them. Oh, are you hearing me right now? I wonder what has become normal for you. The way you think and the way you perceive life and the people around you. Maybe you've been living guilty of what you used to do. Living, seeing yourself less than what God has really created and meant for you to experience. Living hurt or mad at someone. Can I just tell you, if you're living mad at someone, ask God right now, today, to help you to move past that. Living with no room for God to do anything great in you. Living your life void of the joy that God wants you and I to experience. And some of you, you may think that you're too old, that you've missed it. You may think your chances are all over. You may think you're just too old. You can't celebrate anything anymore. And I just ponder this. The older that I get, the more I want to celebrate. I want a party. I love to get together with people, eat, laugh, eat some more, and while we're eating, talk about what we're going to eat. And, you know, the older sometimes some people get, the more ornery they get. Thank you, Wayne, for that one honest amen. I said sometimes the older people get, the more ornery they get. You know what ornery is? You just walk around looking like you've been dipped in some vinegar and lemon juice. You think you have a right to be mean and nasty? You think you got a right? I've lived this so long, and you don't know what I've been through, and you don't know what I experienced, and you don't know why I'm like that way, and you can have every reason in the world to be miserable and upset and ornery, but my brother and my sister, all it does is it affects your future. Move on from it. Help me to be the person that the older I get, the more joy I have in my life by serving other people, by giving to the Lord, in loving the people that God brings around me, in loving my family, my wife, my children, my grandchildren. And the older that I'm getting, I'm just seeing these things just come to being in my life, that I get to have a choice every day, that I can have the joy of the Lord in my life, or I can make a choice just to be miserable because of what somebody else has done to me. Come on, my brothers and my sisters. What people do to you, talk about you, act about you, act out about you is not going to change. How you take it is what is going to change. And you got to make the decision. You're not going to do that. You're not going to have that be a part of your life. As I was reading these notes this morning, I get up early. I get up early every day, except Saturday I don't get up as early, but every other day I'm up usually at 5, quarter to 5, somewhere around there. I'm up this morning, you don't get coffee, I'm in my office, I got my worship music playing, I'm going over my notes, I'm praying, I'm reading God's word, filling myself up, just enjoying it. And I hear Patty get up, and I usually shut the door. I don't bother her, let her sleep. And I hear her get up, and every time she gets up in the morning, I don't know, she sounds like she's in a race. I go, "Where are you going?" She goes, "I'm going to the kitchen." I go, "Where are you running?" "I'm not running. I'm just on my way." And just a moment later, right while I'm in this portion of my notes, she comes in. She says, "Honey, I had a dream last night." I was thinking, well, great. I love that. She said, "I had a dream last night that we had a baby." I had a dream that we had a baby. Let me tell you something. She's 30 plus years younger than Sarah. If God did it for her, he can do it for you. We had a dream. She said, "Why, honey?" No, it was a dream. No, you had a big smile on your face. You were happy. She came in, she said, "I had a dream. We had a baby last night, and we didn't have a bedroom for the baby. We had to move into a bigger house." I pondered that. And I said, I looked at her, and I said, "Well, all right." She goes, "There's just a dream." And she backed out of the door. I began to ponder. I began to say, "Lord, what is that?" And I'm not sure a baby is coming, but if he wants to bring one, come on. Praise the Lord. But what I am sure that what he was letting me know at that time, for this moment, not only for her and I, but for many that are in here, don't let your age stop you from dreaming. Don't let your age stop you from experiencing something that is beyond your ability, beyond your comprehension, beyond your ability to dream. God is a God, the Bible says, that he will do exceeding and abundantly above anything that you could ask or that you could think. I want to encourage you and someone here in particular today, you need to make room for what God is bringing into your life. Quit saying it can't happen. Quit saying I'm too old. Quit saying that day is gone. Say this is the day God has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Come on, Jesus, bring it on to me now. You know, this moments to celebrate, moments to have joy. I was thinking this past Friday, it was Valentine's Day. And Patty told me last week we were in a conversation. And she just said to me, honey, man, when you put a suit on, it just does something for me. I'm like, that's why I got a suit on today. So we were going out Friday night. I thought I'm going to go home a little early. I got showered. I slapped some good-smelling cologne. Come on, if you smell good, you feel good. And I thought I'm going to get her. I put on a suit. And I went over and I stood in the living room and I just watched until I saw her come in, pull in the driveway. And when I saw her pulling in, I took the remote and I hit it, and I had some Frank Sinatra music going on. And there I am, standing right there in the living room. She walks in the door. She walks past the doorway. She backs up. She goes, "What? Who is that in there?" And I said, "Come here, baby. Come here. Come here." And I took her. What'd you say?
Yes, you did.
And I just begin to dance with her. I just begin to celebrate that moment right there. Thank you, Frankie, for that. You don't have to say things like, "I'm too old, that doesn't happen anymore for me." You need to cultivate the joy of the Lord and look for ways that you can celebrate right now in the life that God has given you to live today. Let me close out with these four little thoughts about joy. Joy comes from his Spirit living inside of us. The Bible says in Galatians 5:22 and 23 that the fruit of the Spirit, fruit grows from something that is growing inside of you. He said the fruit of the Spirit is love, it's joy, it's peace, it's forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. Love. I love how love, joy, and peace, they're connected. They're tethered together in that verse. And it comes from within you. You have to have the relationship with God for it to come out of you. It'll have an influence in every area of your life. Joy is also, it goes beyond the circumstances that we find ourselves in. Psalm 19, verse 8, the precepts of the Lord, or the instruction, or his ways, or his word, or his law, the precepts of the Lord, they're right. I don't care who's trying to tell you what. The word of the Lord is always right. And the Bible says that it gives joy to the heart. Quit running from God's word. Quit running from his plan. Quit closing him out and bring him in to your life. And watch when you do that the joy of the Lord will take you beyond any circumstance that you're facing in your life. Joy also happens with others. Psalm 16:11, you make known to me the path of life. In your presence, there's fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures evermore. Can I just say this? That there is no joy in our lives when we walk down the pathway of me, myself, and I. You will never experience the greatest points of joy in your life until you plan to do life together with other people. Whether it's always good, it's not. Whether it's always challenging, it can be. But I'm going to tell you something. The longer that you serve God, the sweeter He grows, and the more you'll fall in love with the people that are around you every day of your life. Come on today. And then lastly, joy, it'll always win. It'll always win. Nehemiah 8:10. You know that story? Nehemiah was building the wall. Some were telling him, come on, come away with us, trying to distract him. There was that noise going on and around his life. But the word of the Lord came, don't grieve, because the joy of the Lord, it'll be your strength. Our emotions are not beyond our control. We can do it with God's power, even in moments when we don't feel like it. Come on, I've just come to tell you today, stop your grieving. Stop your wrong focus. Stop the complaining. Stop the hoarding of the stuff that you need to get out of your life today, even before you leave this house. Come on, do you receive that today from the Lord? Come on, do you receive that today? Would you close your eyes and bow your head with me today? My heart is that for all of us, young, old, come on, some of us that are growing more mature, we have to set this example for those that are coming up under us. We have to be that example. We got to trust in God. We got to go deeper. And if I'm talking to you today and you're up in your years and your age and you're just miserable, and I'm not picking on you today, but get God's word inside of you. Get around the people of the Lord. Ask God to give you that joy back. Begin, even when you don't feel like it, create an atmosphere that you can celebrate in. When you hear that there's something going on, there's a celebration, come on, be a part of it. When somebody gets the worship leader to come down and sing happy birthday to them, don't say things like, well, you never sang to me. Get excited that we're celebrating the goodness of God in somebody else's life. You know what I found out? Just open up your eyes. Look at me a minute. I have learned that when I celebrate with others, then I get celebrated in due season. Instead of you thinking always, how come that doesn't happen for me? How come I didn't get that? Why have they got that? Somebody gets a new car. I've never had a new car. Can I just encourage you today? You need to rejoice with others. You need to be happy for others. Because when you're happy for others, someday somebody will be happy for you. Now close your eyes. Bow your head. Father, work it inside of us. Prayer people, come on. Come to the altar. Work it inside of us today. Your eyes are closed, your heads are bowed. Maybe you're here today and you've never given your life to Jesus. My friend, can I ask you today, what is stopping you? What is stopping you? You need to give your heart to Him. You need to come and say yes to Jesus today before you leave. It's not complicated. He's not going to hold you back. Listen, the Christians, brothers and sisters in Christ, we got more to celebrate than anybody. He wants to be a part of your life. He wants to be a part of your family. Moms, dads, you got to live for Him. So He'll be a part of your home and your children and that legacy that you're leaving, whether you think so or not. Some of you today, you just hear and the thought came to you, well, you know, that's easy for Him to say. He doesn't know where I've been. He doesn't know what I've been through. For many of you, that's true. I don't know. But you don't know what I've been through. And I can tell you, as a witness to the miraculous working power of God, that if He can do it in me, He can do it in you as well. Spirit of the living God, touch every heart, every life here today. May your way and your will be known in our lives, I pray. For that one today that is here that has never said yes to you, I pray that before they leave, this will be a reality in their lives. Lord, strengthen, encourage, lift up every single person, I pray, here today. And I ask it in the name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. I love you. Come on now. If you need prayer, every one of these folks that are standing down here, they've gone through stuff in their lives. They've come out on the other side of it. Let them pray for you. If you want to give your heart to Christ, come on down. They know how to pray for you. They'll believe God with you. You'll have the greatest experience you've ever had in your life. I love you. Love others. Let the joy of the Lord today be your strength.